Welcome to this podcast.
Waterfolo Expert Talk. Get the insights. Hello and welcome to the brand new episode of the Water Polo Expert Talk podcast. This time I'm very proud and thankful to present you the first international episode of the podcast. During this episode, we will receive many interesting and inspiring insights from Vjekoslav, the head coach of JUK Dubrovnik. Vjeko will give us some insights into his coaching routine of a Champions League participant and give us his opinion on working with young players in Croatia. Hopefully you will enjoy the first episode in English language, and I'm happy to receive your feedback, thoughts and comments. I wish you a lot of fun listening to Vjeko. Welcome to the first international podcast episode. So, Vjeko, maybe at the beginning of our talk, I really appreciate your time. So thanks for taking the time this evening. So maybe at the beginning, I would like hand it over to you. So maybe for a short introduction of yourself.
Okay. Thank you very much, Andreas. Thank you for inviting me and give me opportunity to speak with you and with this way, you know, to spread the passion and knowledge of water polo. Basically, when all this corona thing happened in the world, water polo community really connected between each other. And I really had a lot of talks from all over around the world. And this is something really beneficial for us. And I'm especially honored to speak with someone that I don't know, you know, and to see that water polo is really spread throughout the world and Europe. Regarding me, I'm 46 years old. I started with water polo when I was 9 in water polo club Mladost from Zagreb, and I stayed there from 1983 until 2015. So it's like 32 years in the same club. In that club, I went to almost all you know, I will not say jobs, but you know, all aspects of a club. You know, as a player in the youth selections, then in a senior team, then I was in charge of youth selections. Then I was an assistant coach, and in the end, head coach. And then at 2015, I moved to Dubrovnik to become a head coach of JUK Dubrovnik. I'm there for 5 years now, and hopefully I will stay there for at least 5 more.
So you mentioned that you start water polo in Zagreb, I guess.
Yes.
So how was it to play in this area, or to start with water polo in this area? Because I think it's very different from Germany or other European countries, maybe to play water polo or to come in touch with water polo at the very beginning and play it in in Croatia or in Zagreb. Then water polo with all these pools and all the great environment in your case.
Yeah. Well, I was always leaned to sport, not so much on the books. I can regret some of that, but I was always looking to play some sport. Water polo wasn't my first choice. And speaking of pools, you know, Croatia now doesn't have a problem with the pools. They have sufficient number of the pools for water polo, swimming, and for public. But when I started during the 80s, it's hard to believe that Zagreb, with a population of about 1 million, had only one indoor pool that was like 25 meters. Water polo wasn't. Mladost is a very big club, historically very important club in. It was in ex Yugoslavia, then in Croatia, and in Europe as a whole. But it really didn't have the good place to for them. And it was one not summer, but as I said, water polo wasn't my first choice. I preferred football, basketball normally, like everyone. And as my brother and best friend started with water polo, we went to a pool, and they saw the practice, and it was fun for them. From summer until next spring, I really couldn't take any more of their, you know, speaking about water polo and badly about football and basketball. So I started with them, with water polo, and it was really accidental decision for me. But otherwise, we almost, I think that all clubs from the first league and even from the second division have organized enlistments for kids, you know, every start of the school year and sometimes during the school year. So every sport at the beginning of the school tried to bring, you know, new kids to their sport. So water polo is one of them also.
So in this case, it sounds like very familiar with the situation across Europe, or also which is very familiar to Germany, that the kids coming also from school sports and with the connection to the schools. But I think maybe so. It sounds like there's something more attractive in your area to water polo as maybe in Germany. So in Germany we have football or soccer and handball or something like that. So it's much more popular than water polo. So because water polo is not really existing in the media, let's say that way, in the television, it's not very, very often shown.
I agree with you because I'm aware of this situation. We in Croatia and in some other countries like Hungary, Serbia, are almost daily in the sport and national newspapers and in the media. So we have access to the media, of course, not like football or maybe some other sport. And we definitely we are not working enough on this area. But again, our success as from our clubs and also from the national team. And I will say that we consider water polo academic sport, and most of us finish universities, and after the universities we become, you know, academic citizens, and in that way we can also help water polo and spread the word and keep the water polo always close, you know, close to media or close to the local budget or you know, to political option or something, you know, everything. You just try to survive. Because water polo itself is not at this point product that you can sell easily.
Yeah, so at the moment it's really hard work and means also at the moment at least a lot of budget or effort to come into the media, into the television. And so in the last couple of years we have I would say only Waspo and Spandau maybe who's covering in the television. But I think it's really a hard effort to come into the minds of kids. So it's very difficult to convince also kids to play water polo or to come to water polo instead of playing football, maybe because they see football, I don't know, each day in the TV. So which is not the case for water polo.
Definitely.
So but when I understand you correctly, it's not really so much different at the moment in Croatia, right?
No, water polo is certainly not sport number one. We in Dubrovnik with you are privileged really, because this is the sport number one, and just like it is, we will speak about it later. But in Croatia, water polo is not, you have to fight every day, you know, for your piece of media coverage. Before it was easier because like 20 years ago during the 90s, all these media, you know, journals, you know, they were all owned by government and state, so you didn't have to pay to be in it. But right now it's you know, private, and money talks. So if you have
money talks a lot in this case, yes.
We need as a whole, but this is really a subject for a large discussion, you know, water polo as a whole, you know, as something not only as a sport but as a product, you know, if it's good to see on a television, what can be done better. And we all know it's really not a secret that we have problems, you know, with our sport and how it looks on television, and with some of the guys that are leading the water polo on the world level, European level, maybe even on national level. We again in Croatia we still have good position, and it's mostly because of the results. If the results will stop, you know, we certainly it will be much harder for us. We have a like know-how technology to work with the kids and bring the results out of them.
Yeah, so when you do deliver the results at the end, then it's much more easier than you have the arguments on your side somehow. So when you do not have the results, then you do not have any arguments maybe at the end. When you say the situation in Croatia at the moment, so maybe you can give us a little bit insight of that at the moment. So how does it work at least at the moment? So do we any able to do any practices, any games at the moment?
We do. We have a case that where you can see how water polo in Croatia, you know, fought their way when COVID started and everything stopped, you know, and all countries went into lockdown, Croatia included. It was like 40 days, 50 days of total lockdown. And most of water polo championships around the Europe stopped with the activities and abandoned the leagues at that moment, you know, terminated them and waited for the autumn. Water polo was in Croatia only sport beside football normally that didn't do this. And we were patient because we can be summer sport. Tokyo Olympics was postponed and it gave us time that maybe if lockdown will be over by the summer, that maybe we can play this championship. And we played it. And as it was only one of two sports, you know, we had good media coverage, you know, and it was, in the end, it's really spectacular final of the season. And it was not only, as I'm a coach, I cannot speak only about how many people watched us, but it was a fantastic experience for my young players. And certainly we make some advantage. It's not big, of course, but we made some advantage regarding the other nations because we had normal championship in the end and we played it. We even finished with the regional league. We even managed to do that. After summer, we quickly started with the preparations for a new season. Croatia is not in a lockdown at the moment, but close to it. And the numbers, as you can probably see everywhere, are very large, very big numbers with the infected. But at this moment, we can have practices and we can play games, but games without the audience. It's not the same normally. We all lack audience, but there is a lot of streaming, you know, on the YouTube during for our championship. It was two games were broadcast on the YouTube today. And most important for us right now is to have a championship. We have postponement. We didn't play last. We played it Friday, 2 days ago. But before that, we didn't play for 1 month because we postponed a lot of games. So we started again. I'm very optimistic that we will also finish this season with all the postponements and problems. Hopefully, after New Year, maybe even go into regional league. But we will see of course situation also with the neighboring countries, and maybe the most important thing about everything is the young players, the kids that are coming to the pool. So, for example, we make, of course, we have lists of our players from all selections. And after lockdown, we have like 15 to 20 more kids on the pool than before lockdown. And at this point, we went into media, tried to bring them to the pool. We gave them really, you know, we were in contact with kids and their parents. And at this moment, all youth selections are in full mode. You know, if we have infections, of course, we are putting these kids or these selections away. But most important thing is not playing senior water polo right now. It's to have your base and to have numbers with your kids. And for example, in Dubrovnik, there are more kids than it was before lockdown.
Yeah, so this is totally different to Germany at the moment, to be honest. So we have not really the chance to play any season until the end. So I think only the first division, so with the finals between Spandau and Waspo and also the Super Cup was played to the end. So any other young tournaments or youth tournaments, senior tournaments, so everything was stopped. And right now we have a lockdown light. so it called. And we are also not able to practice, so we meet each other on the Zoom meeting twice a week. So it's the only way to go in touch at the moment, and it's not really not so easy. So for everybody, so not only for the coaches or the old men and women. So it's especially very hard for the young kids, as you mentioned before. Yeah. So yeah. This is really the key point. There, I would absolutely agree with you that you are really. It's important to keep the base active. So it's not really necessary to play maybe with the first team, but at the end you are to go to the training with the kids.
Yeah, I think it's more important, really.
Yeah. And in this case, when you say you have maybe more kids after the lockdown than before, so in this case, maybe it's also, as you mentioned before, an advantage for you in this case.
It is. We will see what will happen after winter.
Because, how many kids are still there right now?
Yeah. Because we really have hard practices. But who knows, during the summer, everybody wants to go somewhere, after lockdown. Now there is, we will see what will be, repercussions from this, where we are now, not only in Croatia, of course, but everywhere. For us is very, very important, to have this constant work with youth selections.
Yeah. So we in Germany, we have, to be honest, the fear that we do not have, or that we leave, or some kids leaving the club or leaving water polo. It's really the opposite of your situation in this case, that you have more kids, maybe due to the media coverage than after the lockdown. And we in Germany, maybe we are trying to keep the kids to water polo and have the fear that they are leaving. So. But when you say you already covered several positions in your club or in your career in the past, so you are also very familiar with all these different situations, different areas of work. Do you see any, let's say, a connection between the players or the young players coming to the first or the second team and the working or the work with the young talents? So when they come to the club, maybe, and starting with water polo.
Well, working with the kids is very difficult task, and I really I'll just as introduction I will say that I stopped playing at 2007, and as I was very long time in that club and in Mladost, and also I had special connection because my father was a president for a long time of a club, my brother played, so really I know a lot of things about a club that common people don't know. So,
which are official and unofficial.
Unofficial, yeah. I know. I will speak only about official. I can say unofficially that during at the end of the 80s, we have like a few players hiding in the house of my father when they need to sign contract. And nobody, was supposed not to know this. But so I play until 2007, and immediately I started working in a club. It was also a privilege, and they gave a position of a sport director, but my main task was not so much senior team, but young selections. And I was not intended to be a coach, and I didn't want to be a coach when I was a player. I really didn't have any desire to be a coach because...
So, which is very interesting that you are now really successful, let's say that way, and you do not have any intention at the beginning.
No, because when I played, I tried to see things objectively, and that is that I saw that coach depends on not only on the result but on a subjective, thinking of the guys in the club of the board. And also depends on the luck, and also depends on your team, and a lot of things that he cannot control. And really, it's like a little bit hazardous, job. It's like going into casino, and really, I didn't like it.
it depends on several factors.
you cannot control all of them. But when I started being sport director, and my job was to be the boss of all the coaches in the club, but I knew from the beginning that I cannot be the boss, something that I didn't try for myself. So when I was a boss, and I said, okay, but I will take with one coach the youngest selections, 11, 12 year, 10 year old kids, you know, beginning of water mm-hmm. polo. And from the first day, you know, first day that I was on a practice with kids, that was, you know, like, that's it. I'm going to be a coach. I don't want to be a director. And especially when I see that you need to beg for money, for budget, you need to lie to players, you need to, no, it wasn't for me. So I begin as a coach. And since 2007, beside my academic career, which it's not so connected with water polo, but I begin to work on myself, and I had a privilege to work with best of the best, really, in water polo. First of all, as a mentor, Ozren Bonačić from Mladost, who was, I think, 6 or 7 time European champion with the club as a player and as a coach. Then with Emil Nikolić, who was in Mladost also, but he came from Jug also, very, you know, coach who won Champions League and worked with young kids and gave me a lot of ideas. And then with Ratko Rudić, who is, like, you know, mm-hmm. godfather of water polo, with Deneš Kemenyi, certainly the coach with most trophies. And I really had this privilege, because in Mladost, you are in connection with these people, or they are inside your club, you know, and then I start working with the national team. And then you see how big this thing is, and how you need to change yourself, that you really need to change a lot of things from the moment you finish your playing career and the way you think. And I try to incorporate it, all this, you know, on a daily basis in working with the kids. And now I'm senior coach, but also I'm in charge of all selections in Jug the last 2 years. And I will always like to be connected with youth selections, to be some kind of a coach or a coordinator or something. It really gives me a lot of pleasure to see those kids coming to the pool every day and see them grow. But basically, on daily basis, you see how they change themselves, and then you make predictions about their career and everything. Well, the goals from it's very important when you work with young selections. I mean, it's important for every business you do, but in water polo, I saw that not all of my colleagues and clubs have goals. You know, they just came to the pool, start a season, start working, and they do not have clear and objective goals on reaching something. And this is the first thing. You should put yourself a goals. If you are with a senior team, or if you are with the kids, with the junior, we have like six selections now, but the youngest one is not so much in the competition. So let's say 5 selections, and you need to have overall goal, and you need to have a goal for each selection, and then individual goals. You know, there are a lot of goals there, but and they all need to be objective, and then you follow them. And the goal for Water Polo Club Jug and from Water Polo Club Mladost is not only to create it's to create athletes and persons, to give them something besides school. It's very important. Not only, let's say, do water polo and that's it. No, it must be wider, you know. So it's not only, it's another education that they're gonna get from us, for them to become athletes. And then you have the main goal. The main goal is to create Olympians, you know. We want that in almost every generation to create one Olympian, the one player that can go to all the way to the Olympics. And this is the cream of our sport. We have facilities right now that we can do it. It's not easy, of course. It's not easy at all. But this is our goal. So in this is how myself personally and my club is and some other clubs in Croatia, not all of them, of course, but some other clubs, you know, are participating in this, let's say, project, you know, on a daily basis. Most of us, or all of us, you know, are clubs, are unions of citizens. So you have also obligation. You are not a private club, so you have obligation to work with your community and to, you know, not to pursue some selfish interest, but to bring the kids and teach them water polo and try to make first of all men or girls out of them, you know, and women and then to make them successful athletes probably for the national team.
Yeah, so what I hear from what you're saying is really to have or to dream big, Yeah, or to dream big from the very beginning, not saying, okay, I play water polo for, let's say, or so I start playing water polo for 1 or 3 years, and after that I will see how it goes. Yeah, so
no,
that's not really the way you would like to see that.
No, because I saw many approaches, and discipline approach, you know, approach with more discipline is shown to be much better, and that the kids that went through harder discipline stayed longer on water polo and produced better results. We always, you know, you always have something, you never can say 100%, but overall it's much better if you put yourself like this. The terms on the pool on daily basis, since they are 11, it's every day at least 1 hour, 5 to 6 days a week, you know.
Okay.
And so
which is sure, at least a lot of effort also in young years.
Yes, it is, but this is how we do it, and I'm telling you, not all clubs are like this, but for us it's like this, and I can assure you that in some other countries is also like this. So you need to have you do not need to have whole league like this, but you need to have a few spots with approach like this. So if you would have that in Germany, you know, with such a you know, a good foundation of you know, of swimming and kids and everything, so many population, really it's possible. But
it's possible, but it's really a long and a hard way.
Yes, it is. So, right now, we are continuing, you know, to have, you know, senior, and to feed ourselves with this work. It's not easy if you're gonna start, for example, if you want to take a new club, you know, or club that doesn't have a good structure. It's really not easy, and the first results you cannot see before, let's say, 5 years. So it's very difficult task.
So we have quite similar, like also these kind of concepts or ways to play water polo or to teach water polo, to keep the kids at the pool. So here in Germany, also with some kind of cooperations between two clubs, for example. And in this case, it works. Yeah. So at least we see the cooperation here in Hanover and the cooperation in Berlin. And when you have a look on the list of national players, which are in the squad for Germany, more or less everybody is coming out of these kind of cooperations in Germany. So at least this is exactly the way you mentioned, that it works at the end to be also successful on the national or international level with the national team also.
Definitely. But it's all the effort, and you need to have a local community. For example, I know that in throughout all Europe and also the world, there is a problem with the pools, that you cannot have enough sufficient, you know, hours on a pool, because it costs a lot of money. At this moment, we have a good connection with local authorities in most of the cities where there is a first team water polo in Croatia, and we have, you know, enough terms on the pools to have this project, which is you need. It's really a lot of things, you know, you need to take into account.
Yeah. So, and at least when you have a target or a final target, let's call it that way, as you mentioned before, then it's much more easier also to reach this target when you have a plan and a target and how to get there. Yeah. When you compare your actual job as a head coach with your jobs in the past, would you say that at the moment the head coach of a first team, it's really the hardest, or do you think each job in the past was also some kind of special at this moment?
So every job was special. I cannot say that this is hardest job for me as a head coach of Jug. Why? Because the club is really good organized, and you have your board and people from the club behind you, you know, during the times when you need them, during the games when you need them, during the finals, in the preparation of a season. We have clear conversations and with clear goals of each of our seasons, you know, and development of our young kids. So I will lie if I would say that this is the hardest job that I did, because I don't need to, put into my mind a lot of things that maybe other coaches do, you know, with regarding if their players are paid or they are not paid, you know, if you have enough work hours on a pool or something like that. Really, my job is only, you know, to guide my team, and I have all the support from my club in it. And again, I will say that I'm privileged. If you work with a kid, it's physically more demanding, especially this first period of my coaching career with these youngest kids, like 12 years old. It's so demanding, you know, if you put yourself into it, because you need to, you know, to shout and to teach them, you know, individually, everyone in the group, you need to say something to them, and you lost your voice. And I remember this when I started, there was a group of young coaches in Zagreb, not only from my club. And after our work, we met in one bar, you know, to grab a beers and, you know, just exchanging ideas or just keep quiet, because we couldn't speak anymore. We were so exhausted of our job. And
don't talk anymore, please.
just, you know, let's enjoy. But it's something that I went after 1 year. I went into senior team because my club wanted that. But I missed this part, and I think that it was better for me if I stayed like three more years there. And occasionally I worked with younger players. I was coach of junior national team in 2013 and 14. It's also a very good job, because you see guys and players that who are becoming humans, they're not anymore boys, and they are very close to becoming the players, but they're still not the players. And so this was also an excellent thing for me. And the hardest and the most work is when you are what I was in Mladost at the beginning of career, and now in you, if you are a coordinator of all selections, because you need to participate in almost every practice, at least for a short period of time. You need to know the names of all coaches, normally, but also of the players in your team, in all selections, and you need to know the problems. And it's, you know, there is a big diversity of problems from, you know, senior team down to the lowest level.
So many names,
and then you have also opposition, other clubs. But in water polo, one thing is certain, that you cannot succeed without a lot of work, effort, and passion. And since this is water polo, it really you cannot be sure that it's gonna make it worth for you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a football. If this was a football, you will have your market and you will have your place to work. In water polo, you need to risk a lot of things for let's say a few years at least, you know, to invest in yourself and to grow as a coach, if you want to be a coach. But in the end, you know, who knows if you're going to succeed.
Yeah, it's a really risky game, let's say that way, at the somehow. Definitely. Yeah, so that if it's works or not, it's not really, you do not have any guarantee that it works at the end.
Definitely. Yeah. Without it, you cannot make it. You cannot make it.
Really. Yeah. which reminds me on the other podcast episode with Patrick Weisinger, who said, okay, it's really important, or was very important for him to go through all the classes and all the stages, as you mentioned. So beginning at the very young, then the little bit older, then at the end a senior, and so on and so forth. So he said exactly the same as you mentioned before, that it's really important to know at least how does it work and how they work and what is the player material we have in the club or in the area to know how to act in his role. Yeah, so it's really important to go through all the stages.
Yeah, because sometimes you have this big successful players, you know, that immediately after they finish with the career, you know, they gave them senior teams, which sometimes it can work, but it's better if you go down and then you start with your process, you know, building yourself as a coach.
Yeah, so that you're at least not starting with the position of a head coach maybe at the beginning. So maybe as a second coach or co-coach or what is it named? Yeah. So we talked a lot about the job, or it's not a job. It's also a passion. So you're very thankful that you have the job. And it's not a job. It's also a passionate thing. What about the career as a player? So you also attend several Olympic games as a player, so which is I think 3 times, which is also not very so often or normal that at least a player goes 1, 2, or 3 times to Olympic games. So maybe can you express your memories somehow with us regarding these very highlights in a career of a water polo player?
Well, I had a good and I can say successful career, which I don't look as too much anymore. You know, I'm really not trying to compare my days with this.
So you're looking more in forward than afterward.
Yeah, I really don't want to you know to say to my players every day, you know, maybe I did this better than you. So it's really. I don't think this is a good approach, but I really had a, you know, successful career. I played only in one club, but I was satisfied with it. We really played a major role. And as you mentioned, I played the national team for 12 years and went to three Olympics. My goal as a player was to go on the Olympics. My goal was to go on the 4 Olympics. I didn't manage to go on the 4th. I stopped playing water polo before and after my 3rd Olympic, I fell from national team, and looking those days, the best things for me, you know, all happened until I was 22 years of age. I won a Champions Cup with the club. I won like 2 or 3 national championships, and I won. We won a silver medal on the Olympics in Atlanta, and. After that, the career was good, but it was like, you know, going down individually.
Yeah, so you're already on the top. So at this point, it goes not straight ahead.
No. I probably didn't adjust myself as I could. Seeing sometimes games, you know, sometimes you can see those games on YouTube where I played, you know, me as a player, I don't like it. I have many things to say, to say to myself. Yeah, so really, but anyway, it was perfect experience. One of my mentors told me that the best things in your life is if you can live from your, you know, professional career. And I lived like until I was 33 from my professional career, and really it was a privilege. And he told me after that, the best thing is to become a coach. For me, really, I have to say that maybe I'm more as a coach. You know, that I enjoy more to be a coach than a player, because I'm more relaxed. But also, you know, this playing career, it really, you know, to play all these against all these players. You mentioned one before, Patrick. And with all these guys, you know, it was really a privilege. I saw one of your questions before, and it was about coming to the Olympics. It really for every athlete it should be you know the goal number one, because it is really a special feeling. And the first time you came to the Olympics, the first time you went to on the opening ceremony, the first time you step inside the Olympic village in kitchen, and in front of you, you can see Usain Bolt or, I don't know, you know, some NBA player in front of you, someone that you watch on, you know, on the television. I remember when we went in Atlanta, and after one lunch, we went outside, and it was whole German handball team with, I think, Stefan Kretschmer played there. Mm-hmm. They were really, they made the impression.
which depends on the tattoos and the hair, and so this time at least.
Yeah, but really, you know, it's something that is like you step into a movie, you know. And my first Olympics was mostly, you know, in this like like you're in some kind of movie, although it was very successful. It is that after a few days, you know, you get used to it. So when, again, this you know, like NBA star passes next to you, it's like, okay, now.
This could be true, so it's only fake.
Yeah, but it's really it is special. The Olympics, you know, it's something. I don't know if all the kids that are in sport really have these dreams right now. Maybe hopefully they have it, but this Olympic dream needs to be put in every child that wants to be in a sport. You know, of course in normal circumstances, not pushing. Putting the pressure on kids, you know, which they cannot endure. But Olympic dream is something that's even bigger than you expected.
Yeah. So, and maybe you mentioned it before. So, is there any big difference between you joining or going to the Olympics the first time and then the second and the third time? So, is there any difference? So, or think? Yes. Do you think also the second time it's quite a movie?
Yeah, it is, but you are not so impressed anymore. We were really more focused. My experience was, for example, that we had better team and we were more focused on our second Olympic Games, and we play better, but we managed to be seventh. So we didn't produce a good score because of one bad day on the quarterfinals. But we weren't so impressed like 4 years before that, although it was the perfect Olympic Games, you know.
Yeah.
In Sydney, the Olympic Games were really, regarding the organization and everything, was the perfect. My third Olympic game was a disaster for me personally. Also,
okay.
It's something that probably I shouldn't go at now, from this point speaking. Of course, that at that moment, I didn't want to give up, but I didn't fit in good in that team. I didn't have a good relationship with, unfortunately, with the coach, and it would be better for all of us. I think that if I just didn't go there, and so for regarding that Olympic in the Athens, I really don't have any good memories at all, because mostly my memories are connected with the result, and the result there, yeah. and my play was very, very bad, and so the third Olympics were a disaster.
Yeah, so it's at the end, it's only the results you have in mind 10 or 20 years in the past. So when you played as an active water polo player, so I also heard several quite the same stories from some of the German players saying, okay, it's some kind of not real when you're talking to Dirk Nowitzki somewhere. So they are very impressed and say, okay, when you do these kind of international or national networking in this kind of world or Olympic bubble, then this is really also something you could benefit from this kind of network that you built during your career, and then when you stop or end your career, you can benefit from this network. So is it also something you would like to, you could say in this case, that you really benefit maybe right now from the network you're building 10 or 20 years ago?
In some extent, yes, but I think that most of my recent knowledge, my knowledge as a coach, mostly in full, but mostly came since I stopped playing water polo. And crucial Olympic game that you know, from my point of view and from my knowledge and my connections and everything, was London, because I was assistant coach in London Olympic Games, where Croatia won a gold medal, and it was also perfect Olympic Games, not only because we won a gold, but it was, you know, in sense of the organizing whole this summer. You know, interaction with other coaches, and to see that was at that Olympic Games, I saw my head coach, you know, organize this competition for his team, you know, in the area where everybody are the same. In Olympic Village, when you go to the World Championship, so you go, you see, search for your accommodation, you know, you know, there is a difference. When you were in Olympic Games, everybody, besides the NBA games, the NBA players, you know, they're all, you know, on the same level. they eat together, they sleep together, and see someone make such a good logistical plan from the beginning, you know, it's so for my career, it was most beneficial Olympic Games, really. Otherwise, okay. Of course, that meeting all these guys from your country and from others' country, because this 15 to 20 days, you are all together, you know, as one group. Whole nation is one group, and really every night, you know, you gather yourself, you know, many sports, and exchanging ideas, and of course, you know, making connections for the future. So it's also very, very important. But I told you, when I was assistant coach in London, that was for me, you know, and I had a lot of assignments, because with Ratko Rudic, really, you cannot sleep. It's always
need to, like, he's always on power.
One eye needs to be open, you know, because listen, if he has some ideas or you know, some assignment for you, it was crucial for me.
So I don't know if you really maybe see something from the German league here in Germany. So you have really, let's say a league on more or less where several teams on the same level. Let's say it that way. So it's not really that something goes totally wrong in some teams. Do you think it's really an advantage, or I would say it is an advantage, but maybe it's interesting to get your point of view on that. If you have a league which is more or less on the same level, so that you have to perform good, or the performance needs to be good more or less every week or every weekend, and you do not have really only a tough game each 4 or 5 weeks. What do you say on this?
Well, I think that, of course, it much better is if you have a strong league with at least like 4 or 5 strong teams, and then you have like some of the average, you know, teams, 2 or 3, and then maybe the weaker ones. But believe me, I played senior and coached senior water polo since 1989, something like that, I saw many leagues, you know, with all kinds of qualities. I saw really in ex-Yugoslavia, it was something unbelievable, you know, last 2 seasons, because, for example, Mladost was champion of Europe in the 1989, and in the 1990, we lost. I traveled and didn't play too much. I was a kid, but we lost like, I don't know, 6-7 away games against teams that were not even playing for Euro. But it was so hard to win the points, you know, on the way. It was really hard league. Then in the middle of the 90s, we had in Croatia like 4 very, very strong teams, you know, fighting in Europe and also in Croatia. Big fight, don't get me, fight, you know, big competition between them. Then when like 10, 15 years ago, regional league started, and it bring a lot of quality, you know, because first few regional leagues, you had like 6, 7, 8 great clubs, you know, with many national team players, you know, in 1 year, it was all, even Reco joined the regional league. So it's always better if you have more competition and more your level clubs. It's not good if you have big division between them normally. But my opinion that Vaspo and Spandau in Croatia right now would be fighting also for a title. You know, maybe these lower clubs would have problem with some of Croatian clubs, but not with all of them. We also have big differences, you know, in the results. When this happens, I have this situation in my club that I can put my younger players in the game, so to make this game more interesting, you know, this is again.
Yeah, so and give them the chance to
valuable,
collect some experiences.
Minutes. Yeah, yeah. This, so we are coming back to where we started. You know, you always from each game you can take something from it. You know, it's not like let's go and destroy like 20 goals difference. Put your younger players to play, it will not be such an easy game. You will still be favorite, and then you have something that you know, you have benefit from this game.
Yes, and not only the club, we will have benefit from the game, because especially the young players will then have benefits from this some minutes in such a game. Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. So it's really it's absolutely better to have but you can see in the Champions League in Europe as a whole, it's not easy to make such a competition, you know, with so many strong clubs.
So do you also see a connection between, let's say, the level of the league and also the performance of a national team, maybe? So it's really a direct connection, I would guess.
Yes. Yes, it is definitely it is. It's much better if you have a strong league for your national team. Of course, your players, you know, can go and play abroad. You know, can go to Hungary or Italy to play somewhere else. And again, it also good, but it's much better if you have a strong league and then if you have a lot of your players in your league.
How do you analyze maybe your upcoming competition? So in your league, in your case, for Juk, maybe. So are there any special things you do? So how does the analyzing working?
I think this is very important for every coach that wants to be on a senior level, not only on a senior level. I think that it's something that you can work on yourself with the kids, you know. First, you need to analyze your team. We spoke about the goals, and every day you have like a checkpoint of your team, and each day you need to make with yourself or with your colleagues, you know, just to exchange information to see to analyze your team. I think it's you need to do this on a daily basis, and then on a weekly, and then when the competition starts. When you analyze your team, then you can. I had one lecture about this that I was giving to some of the national federations regarding this, and first step is that you have to analyze your team and yourself, and then when you are at some point, you know, and you step into competition, then you start to analyze your opponents. Usually for one game, let's say important game, you are collecting all the data, you know, throughout the season, maybe even longer for some players. and you have, I can show you right here, I have a lot of, you know, this is 2011, 2012.
The history of information is very long, or could be very long.
Inform Bureau is, you know, it works in the waterfall. So you're collecting the data, but to prepare yourself for one special team, it's like, let's say 1 week, you know, and during that week you have a video analysis of that team, you know, two, maybe three presentations for your players, you know, and then individual information to your players. I think it's very, very important, but first you need to analyze yourself. So this is like a step two or step three preparing your games. But with analyzing yourself and the opponent, certainly you will grow as a coach. Maybe it's more if you come to the games, let's say, unprepared without the analyzing things. Really, the feeling is maybe better because you really you do not know what to expect. You have maybe high expectations, and so. But for me, it's the only proper way to do my job.
So when you play maybe against teams you mentioned before, Reco or something like that. So is that also for you or your team in this case special anymore? So it's for. Neutral viewer or fan, it's very special to see those guys in the water. So is it also special for you?
Absolutely.
Or your team? So
absolutely. I mean, we are all here for a winning. This is something that, you know, it's inside each one of us, and especially since this is our job, and we think of ourselves that we are good at our job, and we want to put ourselves in the line to be with the best. So, of course, it is a special. When you play, all these games, you need to find a motive. Even when you play, we mentioned earlier, you know, if you have a league with strong division, with the quality, you need to motivate yourself for each game. And if you come from a club which Jug Dubrovnik is right now, that like it's something like 25 years, you know, on the top or close to the top, you are not playing your games to win. You are playing your games not to lose, because the big news will be if Jug loses the game, not if it wins. So you just the feeling of a win is excellent, and when you win something big, it's really, you know, unimaginable. But the feeling when you lose something, lose badly, that's maybe even harder feeling than winning, you know. So you're just trying to stay alive, just trying not to be defeated.
Yeah, so it's on the other way, so many people saying, okay, you learn so much also from the games you lose, maybe, or you learn more from the games you lose as from the wins at the end. But it's absolutely obvious that it's the better feeling to win, to win a game or to win a championship or to win a title. So what do you think about the development of the German clubs? So maybe come to the German clubs at the moment or for the moment. Do you see the development of Waspo, White Sharks, Potsdam, Spandau maybe? So do you have any idea on that? Or do you follow the development?
Yes, I try to follow as much water polo as I can, and I'm following German water polo, but from a distance. I think that it's very good for German water polo and for European water polo that club like Waspo Hannover, you know, emerged and step on the scene. What I like very much is that it seems that they're not only having like a mercenary team, you know, with a lot of foreign players, but they are trying to develop a youth program through White Sharks. And overall, you know, looking from Croatia, my opinion is, I'm not saying that I am right, but that two countries with the biggest potential in growing in water polo are France and Germany, because, you know, you have many pools and many clubs. You have maybe good, I will not say perfect situation with facilities, but you are a sport nation with a sport culture, with very strong swimming, which we are not always on the same line with the swimming, but swimming is the beginning of our sport, you know. And you know, if you have many children in the swimming, when we have in Croatia and probably also in Germany has, you know, so this is a good ground, you know, to bring the kids. And with, for example, French league did a big step, especially during COVID, you know, investing in the teams. And it's almost it's visible right now that it's good for, it's beneficial for them, because you see that all of their teams, not only Marseille, who really invested a lot of money in their team, but the other team also, you know, now have they are much closer to the competition from other countries than they were. German is somewhere, you know, close to it, but at this point, when you play against German teams, you only see Spandau and Waspo. And I told you, those teams would be, you know, even in our country, would be, you know, very hard to play with. Other teams, you know, are not on that level. And you need to develop, you need like one or two more centers, you know, towns where you will have a good project, you know, that will go all the way from the kids until the senior water polo, to invest like this for, I don't know if it's possible, in Duisburg or Potsdam or somewhere. And then because you can see, for example, example of Montenegro. It really has literally four clubs, you know, and large success. You know? And in Germany, if you have like these four centers, maybe it can be, this quality can be spread, you know, to the other clubs. Then you begin to, everybody start to move. So I think that you have a potential, but you're definitely not using your potential.
Yeah, so this is exactly the feedback or the opinion of most of the people who are in touch with the water polo or with the sports water polo. And it's really hard to describe to other people that it's not possible Well, at the moment, there are projects going on, like you mentioned, these kind of centers, and try to create more centers or hubs or something like that to collect the people or to collect the kids and then to grow the kids to the divisions. But it's, as I mentioned, even when you have the facilities and the people or the budget, maybe it's somehow not so easy as it sounds.
No, it's definitely not easy. It shouldn't be. And it's not easy in Croatia itself, to have, the organized club and especially because the revenue is your feedback is not sufficient, and so it's not easy. But again, looking with the sport culture that Germany has, many sports, with water polo history, I grew up when Mladost played Champions League, and it wasn't Champions League, it was a Champions Cup against Spandau, and watching Hagen Stam, do his turns, or René Reimann, or all these guys, they were like the idols. But really, for me, at one point of my career, Hagen Stam was like an idol, and he played in Germany in Spandau, and then you didn't have so many games on the television like you have now, but again, I really, there is a possibility, that all this maybe story, can be, bring to today's situation.
Yeah. So maybe due to the fact that we have today the situation that it's maybe easier to show or to provide the sports in the media, in the internet, on social media or whatever. So maybe this could be also a benefit or an advantage at the moment, that it's easier to transport the sports to the kids. And maybe then we have, let's say somewhere in the future, also the fact that, again, have some German players who are maybe idols for someone. So coming back to the Olympic Games, maybe. So we have right now the postponed the Olympic Games to next year, and we have to play with the qualification for the Olympics beginning of next year with Germany. What do you think? What do you think is the percentage Germany could be qualified for the Olympics?
It's not going to be easy.
Yes, definitely. It's not really an easy group.
not at all. But everybody has a chance. I know that. I think that Olympic Games will be held, and that situation will be better after the New Year's. But this is my point of view. I'm not saying that I'm right. But regarding the qualification tournament, well, all this situation, will put us in a position for maybe, for the water polo map of the world can be different after this, so that lower federations and the places where water polo, was not so good can be better after this. I see this as opportunity. Maybe it's strange, but.
Yes, I heard this very often during the last days and talks, so that it's maybe also an opportunity, and it's not per se negative case or situation, because other countries also have maybe more difficulties with this COVID pandemic. So it could be an opportunity, as you mentioned.
It could be, but you need to you need to make a plan, and you need to work. That's it.
Yeah.
I told you I had many meetings online, and I was surprised to see guys from New Zealand, from the Israel, from the Canada, from Russia, from all over the world, just so enthusiastic about water polo, and that's when I thought, maybe this is the opportunity for all those guys, to come closer to us. Mm-hmm. What will happen? I don't know. So maybe this is a opportunity to for Germany, you know, to went into preparation mode. And
at the moment, it's not at least allowed to train, so or to practice.
And then
so this is at the at least at the moment. So maybe some athletes are able to train when they are on a list of I don't know. So it's not really easy at the moment.
I feel sorry really for you, and I told you that when we started to have a like a summer championship, and then we now you know are in a full mode with the practice. Really, it's you cannot do anything without the pool and the practice.
You know?
So
maybe it would then be somehow a little bit of surprise begin of next year. What will happen during these kind of qualification then?
Yeah.
So hopefully they're in a good shape because in the past or before the break or the lockdown comes or the pandemic or COVID comes, the team was really in good shape and good conditions. The results were not so bad, so it was good results. So
Germany will always have a, you know, good, decent team, but it's very important not to lose your composure, you know, if you do not have a result when you finish 10th, 9th, you know.
Yeah.
At the end of some championship, it's very important that you have a plan what to do next. Of course, you need to finance it also, but for example, last summer, your national team from the guys, 17-year-old, beat Croatia, and it was obvious in the water that it's a better team. It's not by accident, but it's a better team.
Mm-hmm.
So, Germany will always have this fundament for a good team. But you need this extra at least one step. At least, you know, one.
Yeah. So maybe we do this or go this step then during the next 1 or 2 years. So hopefully, when all the, let's say, in this case, older guys will retire somehow. So we have to replace them anyway. So,
yeah.
So what are the next games coming up for you in the next couple of days or weeks?
Well, next week will be very, very busy for us because we need to play some games that we rescheduled in the last 1 month. So we will have 7 games.
Seven games in 7 days? No.
Yeah. We will have. It is a little bit too much, but it.
So no practice during.
Only game, which I don't like. But Tuesday, Wednesday we'll have games, and then from Friday to Sunday, we'll have a cup, which is like a tournament, qualification tournament for our cup. We are hosts and we are favorites to win. Hopefully, I mean, not hopefully, but we will not have very hard games during this week, but there will be 7 games. Some of the younger players will certainly participate.
Okay, so there's a room for some of the young players then to come to the front stage.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so in this case, I wish you all the luck for the next games, for the next tough 7 to 10 games. So 7 games and 7 days. It's obviously not really easy, so it's not the easiest schedule.
What we are preparing right now, basically, it's the December and the start of the Champions League, and the first game that we're gonna play is against Spandau. We didn't analyze them still, but they will come. It will come on the table very, very soon.
Okay, so you play in Germany in Berlin or
at
your pool?
No, we play in Italy. The Champions League is organized.
The tournament, right?
Yeah, like a tournament, so we play in Ostia, close to Rome. All of our group will be there.
Ah, okay, good. Okay, so in this case, I wish you all of luck for the games. Stay healthy and all the best for you and your family. So really appreciate your time today. So
thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for your, it was a pleasure for me. As I told you, I can speak about water polo.
So it depends on the feedback of the listeners. So maybe we can meet again somewhere in the future. So after the game against Spandau, maybe. So just to do a little bit of analysis.
Perfect.
Good.
Please say big hi to Vuk. to look, and that I'm following him, you know, and his work.
So no pressure on him, please.
No, not at all.
Good. Thank you, and have a great evening.
Thank you very much, Andreas.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks again to Vieco for taking the time for recording this interesting podcast, and I hope you enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward for the next international episode, and in the meantime, you're more than welcome to check out our Facebook fan page for any other update. So in the meantime, take care of yourself and your families, stay healthy, and I'm looking forward to welcoming you again for the next international episode.